Parshas Balak. It's been a very, very rough week for Klal Yisrael to learn of the fate of what happened to our brothers Naftali, Eyal, and Gilad. It was very, very difficult for all of us who felt a part of it. You don't know the Peshat. You don't understand the Gezeros and Shemayim, but Kach Nigzer. I think the only thing we can do at this point is Nachpasa de Nachkeinu Nachkoro Nashuva. Introspect and to try, each and every one of us on our own individual level and our personal level, to do tshuva, to try to improve our ways. These things are not political, it's not our enemies necessarily. It's mamish kulo from Hashem, and everything has a message in our personal lives, in our as a nation, as individuals. In addition, I want to dedicate and mention this shiur and any any hisoros and any growth that comes out of this short shmooze should be a schus for the refuah shleima for the following people: Shmuel Bitzalel ben Shendel, who's the father of one of our alumni who needs a refuah shleima; Reb Yitzchak ben Rashalea, who's one of the sons of Reb Nosson Tzvichel Zatzal, who lives in my neighborhood and davens in my shul, who's not well, and Kreindl Bas Leia. Should all have a refuah shleima b'soch shayar chalei Yisrael. Bilam is approached by the messengers of Balak to help out, to save Moab from the powerful Jewish people that has been able to leave Mitzrayim under almost impossible circumstances. They've done the impossible. Miracles have been happening. They've been rolling over their enemies that have stepped in their way in the Midbar. And Balak asks Hashem, "Nu, can I go? Can I go curse the Jewish people?" And Hashem says no. But Rashi goes a little bit further, and Rashi tells us in Pasuk Yud Beis, "Lo selach imam amar lo im kain akalalem mimkom, let me curse them where I am. Amar lo lo sor esam, you will not curse this people. Amar lo im kain avarachem, let me bench them, let me bless them." Assuming that he understood that if an evil person, if a Rasha, gives him a bracha, maybe that will be counterproductive. Amar lo, einam tzrichim lebirchascha, they don't need your brachas. Ki baruchu, they're already blessed. Marshal, amar tzira, for a wasp, lo miduv sheikh, lo miuktzech, we don't need your honey, we don't need your sting, we don't need you. HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Bilam, forget about it. You want to try to curse them? Nothing doing, I don't let you. Now, what happens? He wakes up the next morning and he tells them, I can't go. And the officers of Moab go, and they go back to Balak, and Balak says, oh, we gotta send in more chashuva people. We gotta send in more people to convince him. Right? It's always, in many areas in life, it's good to be persistent. Right? So, Balak says, let's try harder. Right? And he sends back more people, and they say, we'll give you kavod. And Balaam says, I'm sorry. Even if you give me tons of gold and silver, right, I can't do this against Hashem. And Balaam says, hold on a second. Let me stay overnight. And let me ask Hashem again. And what happens? Go with them. Whatever I tell you, that's what you're going to say. What changed? So Rashi tells us in Pasuk Chav, Im lekro lecha, im hakriya shelcha, if it's for you, if it's your benefit, v'sover ato lito al aschar, you can get paid for it, kum lechitam, go with them. What's going on over here? What changed? So I heard, to explain the pshat, that originally it could have been that Bilam's original intention was to really genuinely save Moab from the Jews without getting rewarded. That totally ke'ilu, kaviyachol, totally lishma. And if it was going to be totally lishma, Kadosh Baruch Hu said, if it's going to be lishma, then we know that Chazal tells us the Bilam was on a similar level to Moshe Rabbeinu. It could be that it's going to have to work if it's lishma. But now, when Bilam said, and that's what Rashi explains to us, when he explains the words, im lekro lecha, if it's for your own words, if it's for you to get reward, if you to get money, if you to get kavod, if that's your intention, Bilam, no problem, go, because it's not going to work. And this is also highlighted in the next pasuk, in pasuk Chaf Aleph, where the Torah tells us, Ve'yakum Bilam, baboker ve'yakum wishes asono, and he saddled his donkey, ve'yakum sarimov, and says Rashi right away, ve'yakum wishes asono, mikan shasinim mikalkalas asashura. Shechovash huba atzmo, right? He hated us. He hated the Yidden so much. He didn't wait for other people to give him covered and to saddle his donkey. He saddled it himself. Omar Kodesh Baruch Hu, Rasha kvar kidemcha Avraham Avihem shnema v'yashkem Avraham baboker. Nachosh es chamoro. You want to tell me that you're going to be you're so zealous? You're so you have zrizus for going ahead and saddling a donkey to go do bad things. Avraham Avinu did this before you, and he did it better than you. He did it totally l'shma when he did that Kiddush Yitzchak. It was totally l'kavod Shemayim. And you, Bilam, it's very nice that you're so zealous and you have tremendous resources and you're going ahead and you're saddling the donkey. But I know, says the Kadosh Baruch Hu, that your intentions are not on par with Avraham Avinu. Your intentions are totally for your own kavod. And we see from here a tremendous, tremendous lesson that the problem, first of all, to contrast Bilam and Avraham, Avraham was l'shem Shemayim, so he had siyata d'shemaya. Ultimately, when he right through Akedas Yitzchak, that's how it became essentially the Am Nivchor, the Bris Ben Abisarim, and so on. Bilam, this is his downfall essentially, that he did it for his own kavod. We see from here, and also you see this the pshat, that had Bilam done it, had Kodesh Baruch Hu allowed Bilam, and of course Kodesh Baruch Hu did not allow Bilam to curse us when his intentions were pure, it would have had tremendous power, tremendous influence, tremendous impact if it was L'shem Shemayim. When we do think of L'shem Shemayim, then what? The outcomes and the results know no bounds. When it comes to us in our lives, right? It's very often we do things perhaps for the wrong reasons, and of course it has a lot of milas. Mitoch lo lishma bo lishma. If you don't do it lishma, it'll come to lishma. There's no question about it. But there's a certain idea, there's a certain growth, certain personal growth, and a certain siyata lishma that a person has. You know what? Nobody's going to know about this ma'aseh mitzvah, or nobody's going to know about this avera that I'm going to hold myself back from doing. Nobody's going to know about it. It's between the Kodesh Baruch Hu. That kind of ma'aseh, that kind of action, that kind of Kovish Yitzro has exponentially more power than a public Maisa. Let's put this into practical terms. If somebody's in a base medrash with 10 other people, and you know the Seder is an hour Seder, let's just say in the summertime, hopefully it's more, but let's just say it's an hour Seder, you're going to feel embarrassed to leave after 40 minutes. You're going to feel embarrassed to leave after a half hour. Right? You're not going to want to sit out while you're there. Because why? Because everybody's looking at you. But let's say, and this happens, I'm sure, now in the summertime all the time. You're in your house, or you're in your shul, and it's empty. And after a half hour, you say, I learned, nobody else here, who cares? Let me go out and do whatever. If you go ahead and you stay for the full hour, let's say, for example, the first of all, the siyata, the shema that you're going to get is much greater, and the schar that you can get is much greater. Because between you and Kodesh Baruch Hu, nobody knows. Nobody knows. So I wanted just to put it into mathematical terms. If a person is going to learn for an hour, and he's by himself, And after a half hour, he says, you know, I should stop. And he continues anyway, and not a person's going to know about it. There's something very, very special and very powerful in that extra half hour. But if he's with 10 other people, and after a half hour, he says, you know what, I want to stop learning. And he's like, yeah, but everybody around me is still learning. How can I stop? And he stays for an extra half hour. It's not the same half hour. It's not the same extra half hour. And this goes with Averis as well. If a person, right, everybody knows, and a person does an Avera in private, he's basically being doichel the Shechina, because he's basically saying the Shechina is not here. Would you do those Averis in front of your Rebbeim, in front of your parents, in front of your friends? A person has to try as much as he can when it comes to Mrs. Essay, Mrs. Losa say, even in private, he has to know that's where you grow, and that's where you develop that relationship with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. I heard a story once about a person who had a fund, had stuck a fund, and it was Matan B'Seser. Nobody knew about it. Nobody really knew where the money was coming from. And one of the things that this secret fund funded was when brides wouldn't have so much money, so this fund would allow a kala to buy a shetel at cost. And the fund would make up the rest and give the money to the proprietor. And this young man, this person who was funding the Matan B'Seser, his wife once wanted a new shetel. And she went to the store to buy a shetel, and she found out the price, whatever it was, and she came back to her husband, the person who's funding the Chesed project, this Tzedakah fund, and the husband, the person who funded the Tzedakah fund, said, I'm sorry, we don't have the money for the Shetel right now. Of course, just understand what that means, is that let's say a person, let's just say he's making $200,000, and he's giving $20,000 in Meiser money. Let's say that goes to the fund. But in the $180,000 that he has left, of course, there's taxes, but $180,000 he has left, he didn't have the extra money to buy a fancy shetel for his wife. So the woman went back to the shetel store, and she said, I'm sorry, I can't afford it. We're not buying a new shetel right now. So the lady in the store said to this woman, it says, you know what, most people in the community don't know, but I know that your family funds this special Matan B'Seser, this unknown fund that funds, amongst other things, shetels for brides who can't afford it. Because of that, I want to give you this shetel for free. So the wife said, oh, wow, it's so nice. So she went back to her husband. The husband said, I don't know, let's ask our Rav. And the Rav said, Lemaisa, if you're Matan B'Seser, nobody knows about it. It's because you have Lishma. And the fact that you're asking the question, maybe you shouldn't take it because it's a residual benefit. Very nice you've been doing this, you've been giving tzedakah. But once you gain from it, not that it's wrong, but it's not as pure and it doesn't have the same power. So the suggestion the Rav told him was not to buy the shetel, not to get it for free, wait till a different time when maybe they can afford it, and so on. But you see that the idea that when a maisa is done lishma, you wanted to stay lishma. And you know what happened at the end of the story is that a few weeks later they got a phone call and they won a raffle, a shetel, for the exact money that they were going to buy from that store. It all worked out in the end. I read another story once in Aleinu L'Shabeach that somebody used to visit a cancer patient all the time. He did a tremendous chesed with a cancer patient, and either that person or somebody related to that person fell ill with Yanamachla, with cancer. And based on the Gemara, I think it's Rabbi Chanina Mendoza, who used to dig the wells, and his daughter fell in the well, and he was confident that she wouldn't be harmed from the well because he dug the wells. So he assumed that if he did chesed with patients of that machla, of the machla, so then he wouldn't be adversely affected by the end of machla. So they went to Rav Shach, and he said to Rav Shach, listen, I've done so much chesed when it comes to Yenom Machla, to the Machla, that I'm sure I'll be saved from this Machla. And Rav Shach asked him, said, does anybody know that you go to visit this patient? Does anybody know? I said, yeah, sure. People in the building see me come visit this patient. He said, if that's the case, if people know about it, then you already used up some schusim. It's not the purest schus. If nobody really knows about it, so then you're right. you'd be spared from any type of harm from the machla. But once people know about it, it, I don't want to say it taints, but it takes away some of the slight part of the schus. I think the lesson is that we should try as much as we can, especially when we're in private, especially as we're trying to grow, to try and do things between us and the Kaddish Baruch Hu in private. And this is the Nakuda. When Bilam was going to do it in the beginning, it seemed to be, right, his first request was that it was going to be Lishma. If it was going to be Lishma, Kaddish Baruch Hu said, I don't let you. Because if it happens, it's going to have so much power, it could actually affect Klal Yisrael. But what? But when Bilam went ahead, and he said, Kaddish Baruch Hu, they're giving me cover, they're giving me money. Right? Then, let me go curse them. Kaddish Baruch Hu said, no problem. It's for your own good. It's not Lishma. You're not trying to do the right thing. I have no problem sending you whatever you say. I mean, you're going to say whatever I want you to say, but then I'm going to let you go ahead. Kaddish Baruch Hu should give us this Yata Deshmaya, that all of our Maisim should be as much Lishma as we can, each one according to his level. And through doing Maisim Lishma, Klal Yisrael should only have the Gezeros Tovos in the future. Have a wonderful Shabbos.